When we came up in 1982, we came up with some mission support. Continental Baptist Missions was active in establishing the church here. And one of our bigger supporting churches was Midland, the Baptist Church in Midland. And Ben, at least, I think, was a member at some of those years that we were there. And apparently, he remembers me being there at some point in time. That was before I knew who he was. But he also knows some of our children from school at Northland when they were there. And so there's been contact over the years, and some of it I wasn't even aware of that there was contact. But we are very glad to have him here. I've been looking forward to it. We went last year or the year before. Was it last year in Regina? And I guess we set up a date then when he would be coming, and I've been looking forward to it ever since. So glad that the Lord worked it all out so that it could be done in the way that we had hoped. And so welcome to Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan. I picked the picture at the bottom because, as you know, one of the things that Ben does, you will be able to see some videos online if you want to. Do a search for Ben Everson and you will find them. But he performs as a quartet. And I use perform in a good meaning, well-meaning way there. And also, more than just a quartet. What is the most you've done is with your own voice in one's? 50. Okay, I said 40 that I knew you had done, but 50 voices, that's all his voice. What I'm hoping that he will do this week is to be able to, that he's figured out a way to do that live for you. That's what I want to see, where you don't have to look at the video. You can see him do a live quartet all by himself. We'll see how that works out. But the rest of the time is yours. We go till about 10 after, quarter after, and use as you see fit.
Thank you. All right. Well, it's so good to be here with you. We've been looking forward to it. And I do remember the Faust family. In fact, my parents say hello. I don't know if you remember them or not, but I was born in 1977. That's going to date me, okay? But I was born in 1977, and I remember where we lived. We lived on Swede Road in Midland, Michigan, and we had the Faust family over for supper. And I remember that. I'm the oldest kid, and so I would have been, if you came up here in 82, it depends on if you were back on like a furlough or something, it could have been. But I remember that was, it had to have been before 87, because that's when we moved. And I remember the Faust family. And for some reason, your last name has always stuck with me. And so I don't know why, it just always did, kind of stuck in my head. And so when I was a little kid, and then growing up, even through junior high, I would think of their name and pray for you all, even though I didn't know what you were all up to, you know, in such at that particular time. But it's just kind of one of those things. And so, and then, of course, other contacts, your Northland, different things like that. But we're glad to be here with you this week. And my wife is going to come now, and she's going to sing some numbers, and we'll do some things here for you this morning. And my wife grew up in Mexico as a missionary daughter, and she might give some testimony about that on Tuesday night when we do a full concert for you. But I'm going to head to the piano, and let me grab the mic for you here.
Good morning. It is very good to be with you here this morning. And yes, we were very excited that we were all able to come, and it did come down to like the last second. And so we coming in and getting everything ready to cross the border, because you know you have to take some stuff out of your trailer, whether this and the plants and certain things and all this. And just getting everything ready, it was hectic. But we did get here, and we're very excited. And excuse the water for us. We have up to the point where we came to Montana last week, we were in places, I don't know if you've seen in the States, but there's been some places that have gotten like drenched with rain, and so it's been very humid, and we went from humid to really dry, and so both of us have been kind of clearing our throats because we're trying to intake our water to make up for the difference in the weather, but we are very excited to be here with you. The song I'm going to sing for you is a favorite of mine from Ronnie Hamilton, or Patch the Pirate, those who are familiar with him, and they've the Majesty Music people and Ron and Shelley Hamilton have written music for years, and this was a while ago that he wrote it, and he wrote a wonderful song about prayer. I find when I gravitate towards certain songs, there's particular subjects that I will always enjoy more, that encourage me personally more. And one of them is about prayer. And I find prayer to be an amazing thing. I always, since I was little, the fact that we're allowed to talk to God, that He listens to us, that He allows us to bring anything in our life to Him. That I remember when it hit me one day, you know, that God didn't make us to worry. He actually physically didn't make us to worry. He made us to be able to lay the things at His feet and then to have peace in our own life. It's why it affects us so much physically to be worried all the time about everything. And it's not just the large things in life. Even unsaved man often will turn to a God they say they don't believe exists in a tragedy. But I'm often amazed also that the Lord allows us to bring the tiny frustrations of everyday life to Him. And He allows us to lay it at His feet and from that to gain rest and peace and joy because we have given it over to the Lord and that He will listen to us during those times. And, you know, I know that I see several ladies here and I see children, you know, the motherhood, you know, the tiny little things that just... patience just runs away, you know, and the Lord allows me to hand that over to Him and just say, Lord, please give me patience. Just help me through the day. And then other things that come along, we have jobs, we have school, we have so many different things. And this song, I think, captures it very well. We don't have to pray just in church. It can be anywhere, that secret place that the Lord can have for us. And when we do, we have hope and rest and peace. I hope this song is a blessing to you as much as it always is to me. The Secret Place.
All right. Well, young people are headed down, and then and the helpers and teachers and such. Grab your Bibles, turn to the book of James, if you would, please, this morning. The book of James. Is this working for you all? Can you all hear me out there? You can? Yes. Of course, if you can't hear me, how would you know to respond? But that's all right. Well, it's an honor and privilege to be with you. I know we said that, but we mean it. We enjoy very much coming to Canada. And we've been to Saskatchewan. I used to say Saskatchewan, but it's Saskatchewan. Is that the right way to say it? Tell me the right way. I'll say it the right way. I need to say it the right way. Saskatchewan, right? Okay. And is this our third time in the province? I think it's our third time in the province. It's just absolutely beautiful. And as we've been driving around and even as we were coming up yesterday, just enjoying the, number one, the straight roads. I really like that when I get on, what is that, one, Trans-Canada One. I like that because it's straight, you know. And we've been over to the Maritimes too on the other side of your country, but we really enjoy it. We, in all seriousness, I find it refreshing. In large part because a lot of my brothers and sisters down in the U.S., what's the best way to say this? There seems to be fewer distractions here. And the believers that we get to know here in Canada seem to be a little bit more serious about their faith. And that's, I'm not trying to slam on my brothers and sisters in my home country. All right, I have a burden for my home as I preach when I go down to Mexico. That Mexicans need to have a burden for their home country. We ought to have that. I think that's a right thing. But I'm refreshed when I come to Canada, and we enjoy it very much, and we appreciate your hospitality and welcoming us in. So please forgive my accent, if you would. All right. anyway, by the end of the couple weeks that we're here in Canada, I'll probably pick up some of your accent, and if I do, I'm not mocking you. I'm musical, and musicians tend to pick up things like that. And we tried to plan it so that we could be here for a Rough Riders game, and it would have worked. That's how we tried to plan it that way. You know, my wife's looking at me like, "What? We did not." I was hoping, you know, secretly hoping that we could be here for a Rough Riders game, but next Saturday they're in Edmonton, so. they're not home. But that's okay. That's all right. But one day I want to get to a Rough Riders game and wear a watermelon. Is that what I'm supposed to do? Wear a watermelon on my head? Right? Okay. That'll be a great day. All right. I just want to look at one brief truth with you here this morning. Throughout this week, we're going to be looking at different things. And the Lord might change the order that I've got planned in my head. But tonight, we're going to look at, why does God allow suffering in our lives? I mean, if He can change our life, if He's got all the power, why doesn't He? Why does He allow suffering? Tomorrow night is an extremely important message. You don't want to miss tomorrow night. In fact, you have a projector here. Might be able to use PowerPoint perhaps on my computer. Could we do that perhaps? Maybe we could work that out. But tomorrow night's going to be a presentation I call Stolen Doctrine. Okay? Stolen Doctrine tomorrow night. So it'll be a little heavier on the preaching. All right? But then Tuesday night, it's heavier on the music. We do a whole concert for you Tuesday night. I will do a cappella work live for you all by myself. All right? And I won't do 50 voices, but I'll do more than 4. So that'll be Tuesday night, and the whole family's going to sing. The kids, everybody, we're going to do some new music for you. So that'll be Tuesday night, and then whatever the Lord leads on Wednesday. But I want to zero in on James chapter 1. James chapter number 1, beginning in verse number 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not. And it shall be given him. Isn't that a wonderful promise? It's a wonderful promise in God's word. If we need wisdom, we can ask of God and he'll give it to us. I don't know about you, but I feel like I need wisdom all the time. I feel like I'm always in need of getting wisdom from God. Look at verse 6. Here we go. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. How many of you, if I say the phrase fine print, how many of you would, you know what I'm talking about, right? The fine print. We're trained now in our cultures that when we see an advertisement that seems too good to be true, it's probably what? Too good to be true, right? It just seems to work out that way all the time, right? It could be anything from getting a vehicle to buying some kind of combo meal at a restaurant. You know, it just seems too good to be true. If it seems to be too good to be true, many times it is, because there's all these restrictions. I used to listen to AM radio when I was younger. On Saturdays in the fall, because my favorite football team would play, and I would listen to the announcer, and I love the play-by-play announcer. In fact, one of the reasons that I am interested in the Rough Riders is that at least last season and the last two seasons, had a guy named Greg Jones on the team, and Greg Jones is a Michigan State University football player who went on and is playing, and I'm a big Michigan State fan. So anyway, just little useless information, okay? But on the AM radio, and they do it on FM too, but on AM radio, they have these guys that come in after they give a commercial, and they have the fine print in audio form, and they speed them up. You know what I'm talking about? It's a mattress sale this week only. You can come in and get a free mattress, you know, with a purchase of a napkin. And if you come in, you can have one. And then at the end of it, and you have no idea what they're saying, except you hear something vaguely in there, you know, must purchase 20 other mattresses first, you know, something like that. It's something that negates what appears to be the promise on the surface, right? You know, when we come to God's Word, sometimes we bring that same mentality. And at first, I mean, it really looks that way, right? Because at first it says that you can get wisdom from God. Yes, here's the advertisement. You can get wisdom from God, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth, right? It's going to talk all about this. What's it going to tell us? Well, it's going to tell us that he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Verse 7, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. So as we read those verses together, it seems to say that God says you can have wisdom, but you've got to have perfect faith first. But you can't ever doubt. But you've got, and there seems to be this list of qualifications. And the qualification, I mean, how? Listen, I'll be honest with you. By the way, does that make you nervous when a pastor or preacher says, let me be honest with you for a moment? What are you doing the rest of the time? I'm just being transparent with you. When I need wisdom from God, often when I sense my need is greatest, that is when my faith is weakest. So if I can't get wisdom from God unless my faith is strong, how am I going to get wisdom from God? Do you see what I'm saying here? It seems like, well, it's like those people that say, you know, you can't join the club unless you're already a member. You know, or, well, if you don't know how to find it, I'm not going to tell you. That doesn't make any sense. It kind of makes me feel like sometimes when people give me directions to a place. Well, you turn where the old post office used to be. I've never been to your town. How do I know where the, unless there's a sign that says, this is where the old post office used to be, then I'll know where to turn. But it's kind of predicated on previous information. Say, well, thanks a lot, Brother Ben. We're about to go to a picnic, and now we've got, we can get wisdom from God if you're perfect. That doesn't help me very much. All right, when we come to God's Word, it's so important that we allow His Word to be the best interpreter of itself. How many of you have ever been misunderstood in your life? Yeah, me too. Usually it's over email. Because email, you don't have tone of voice, you know, all those different things. But in the times that I've been misunderstood, that have been really important, sometimes I wish someone would just, if they got confused at what I said or what I meant, I wish they would just ask me instead of asking someone that doesn't know anything about me. Well, what do you think so-and-so meant when he said that? I don't know. Ask him, right? I believe the next verse holds the key to interpreting this whole first part of this chapter. Look at what he says. Verse 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. What is he talking about here? A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Well, let's work backwards through this verse. Not because we're going to find some secret hidden code, all right, working backwards, but because we see the application in all his ways. When Scripture talks about ways, what is it talking about, anyone? What do you think? I know it's Sunday morning message. It's probably not normal to ask questions to the congregation. It's not Sunday school, right? But ways in Scripture, what does that mean? Good. Thought processes, behavior, right? Habits of life. Way that, I'm reminded, how many of you have a dog? Anyone have a dog at home? All right. All right. Miles went like this, and some of you saw. He'll have to explain it to you because I'm not going to. We don't have half a dog. Okay. He can explain it to you after at the park or whatever. My parents had a dog when they lived in Wisconsin, and it was a golden retriever named Honey. She's still alive by many miracles. But anyway, she would go out in the backyard, and she would run the same route every single time. And in fact, she started wearing a pattern into the grass. It frustrated my dad to no end. He would put objects in her path, you know, trying to disrupt her path so that he didn't want a figure eight in his backyard. But she would run that path, and so he put a table and, you know, a picnic table in the way. She'd just jump over the picnic table, go through the picnic table, whatever it is. If it was easy for her to move, she'd move items out of the way. The point is that she had established a pattern that she liked. Okay? When we see ways in Scripture, it is a way of life. It is a habit that we form by thinking a certain way over and over and over again. So whatever happens before this verse, before these words and all his ways, affects us in every part of our life, in every habit, in every thought, because we have this tendency in our life to compartmentalize all the areas of our life. For example, we're here at church. Oh, a lot of people think of this as spiritual time. Okay? Yesterday was Saturday. It wasn't church day, so, you know, I know the game was on, at least partially, until the power went out. Okay? Last night, well, that's not spiritual time. That's entertainment time. That's sports time. And then tomorrow, Monday, is school out for the young people? Or is school still in? It's still in. So Monday is going to be school day for a lot of the young people, right? School. That's not church. That's not spiritual. That's school. Work. It's work. It's not spiritual. It's not school. It's we divide our lives up in all these little boxes. And we tend to think that one area doesn't affect another. But what happens before these words, in all his ways, it's teaching us that it affects us in every box, in every part of our life. Well, let's rewind. What? Unstable in all his ways. Unstable. Instability. What causes a person to be unstable in their ways? A double-minded man. Now, hopefully, ladies, you're not off the hook. All right? Understand by application, this is anyone. Man, woman, boy, or girl. But what is double-mindedness? Well,
if you look up in the Greek language and you do a study, you find this word in the Greek is diesukos.
Okay? Di means double. It's a prefix, means double. Sukos is the word we get psychology, psychiatry, psych, right? It is mental. Has to do with the mind. So when you really dig into the original language here, you find out that double-mindedness actually means double-mindedness. I think that's kind of funny, but in other words, it means exactly what it says. Okay, thanks a lot, Ben. That doesn't help us. Double-mind. Okay, being of two minds about something, right? We know that phrase. It reminds me when I was trying to impress my wife years ago. She wasn't my wife yet. We went on a skating activity back at Bible College. And they had this kind of this homemade ice rink out in the back. And we had a society skating activity. And I thought, you know, I don't know what I was thinking. I don't know why I thought I could impress her on skates because I didn't ice skate. And so I borrowed my roommate's 12 size skates, and I'm a 10 and a half, and so I just laced them on tighter, and they were hockey skates, not regular ice skates, which I still don't quite know the difference, okay? Forgive my ignorance on that subject, okay? I like basketball, football, and boxing, okay? Those are my three sports, and I've got a few friends that are pulling me into hockey, okay? But I'm still pretty ignorant about it. All right, but anyway, I went on the ice, and I will tell you this. My feet could not agree on which direction to take me. One foot always wanted to go one way, and the other wanted to go whatever way this was going, the other one wanted to go the opposite. And I will tell you this, I am glad that my wife, she says she doesn't remember this. So I don't know if she remembers the activity or not, but she doesn't remember me, and I'm frankly glad. Because she might not have married me, I don't know. There's that klutz over in the corner that just keeps falling. That was me. What was the problem? My feet were not in agreement on which direction to go. They were at cross purposes, sometimes literally. Conk, right? Whoop, boink. I learned how to fall that day. So what does this have to do with double-mindedness? Okay. When we want to live for God, but yet we also want to live for ourselves. You know what that is? That's double-mindedness. That's our feet going two directions at the same time. And guess what, friends? We won't make any forward progress. I mean, a lot of Christians. A lot of Christians who, boy, the Christian life just seems to be a drudgery to them. It's kind of a duty, and they know they should do it and such. But at the same time, they want to please themselves, or they want to live for the world, or whatever it might be. Listen, the problem is, the reason you're unstable in all your ways, the reason you're unstable in school, the reason you're unstable at work, the reason you can't make wise decisions in your entertainment, well, those aren't spiritual. Wait a minute. Double-mindedness affects us in every aspect of life. For example, does how you sleep affect how you work? Well, those are two completely different boxes. Well, you know as well as I do. How you sleep will affect your next day. Well, how you act, if you didn't get enough sleep, can that affect your relationships with others? Well, sure, you get tired, you can get curt with others, you can get short, right? You might get sick if you don't eat right. I'm trying to do that. I brought a, please don't be offended, by the way, in a few minutes here when we go to the park, I have my own cooler of food in it, and it's not because I anticipated that you wouldn't have good food. It's that I'm on a specific diet to help my acid reflux and lose weight, and so I can't risk the possibility, and so rather than be mean to people and appear to be hoity-toity, because I'm not, I'll eat anything. That's part of my problem, okay? But please don't be offended. If you made your special apple rhubarb cranberry pie, I don't know if there's such thing, I'm not going to be able to eat it, okay? I'm sorry. So I've got my own little cooler of stuff that I brought with me, because I'm trying to be healthier, and it affects, my health affects the rest of my life. See, double-mindedness. Okay, so let's put it all together as we close here. You want to get wisdom from God. That's where we started, right? It's not about having perfect faith. See, well, it says you can't waver. Okay, what's wavering? It's double-mindedness. It's saying, God, I want your wisdom, but I really want to do my own thing. Oh, God, I want to learn your word, but I'm not going to put it into practice in my life. Listen, God isn't interested in giving his wisdom to people who consider him only one of many options. Right? We go to a doctor. We go to a counselor. Okay? We go to a pastor. I didn't ask your pastor this specifically, okay? But it seems to be a common denominator among my pastor friends. They've had experiences. Maybe all of us have had some kind of experience where a friend has come to us and said, what do you think? And so we do our best. We say, well, you know, this is what I think about this. And if it's a counseling situation, we lay out from God's word. I believe God's word says you need to do this, this, and this. And the person sitting across from us says, okay, yeah, I agree with that. That's really good. And they go out and do the exact opposite. It makes you feel like, why did you ask me in the first place? If you're just going to do, you've already made your mind up, why are you even asking me? Now listen, God doesn't get frustrated in the sense of a sinful impotence that, you know, he can't do something about the situation, okay? That's not our God. But if you understand a little bit of that idea, that God is not interested in giving you his wisdom if you're going to be double-minded about it. Are you going to follow God or not? Are you going to do what's right or not? When God gives you his wisdom, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to say, well, you know, I think I need a second opinion. I'm going to see what my television says. So, well, I don't consult my television. Listen, anytime we sit in front of the television, we are allowing it to have an influence in our life. Now, some people don't even have a television. Okay? All right? If you've chosen to do that, that's fine. We do have one in our house. Okay? The point is simply this. Which direction do you choose to go? It's not about sinless perfection. It's not about not ever having a weak moment in our life where we feel like we're struggling. That's not it. It's about having a heart that's 100% dedicated to God. It's about saying, Lord, I don't want to be double-minded. I want to be single-hearted. Remember, that's what the psalmist would say, right? He wanted to have a perfect heart. It's not sinless perfection. That means complete. That means whole. We can have God's wisdom. We desperately need God's wisdom. But God's not going to give us his wisdom if we're not 100% given to him. Food for thought, isn't it? Food for thought. How are you doing in the area of double-mindedness? How are you doing in these areas where it's so tempting for us to try to go two directions at the same time? Maybe your other direction isn't some kind of fame and fortune, but it's just self-will. I'm going to do my own thing no matter what. Say, Brother Ben, we're here at church, you know, and don't we get spiritual brownie points for being at church? You've made a good decision to be here this morning on this special Sunday, an anniversary Sunday, no less. But listen, the best way that we can honor the Lord and show our gratitude for the things that he's done, even here, in this right here, the things that he's done over the years. Yes, to thank him with our mouth, but to thank him with our life, thank him with our mind, thank him with our heart by living 100% for him. Doesn't mean we'll never fail. Doesn't mean we'll never stray, get off track, whatever. But I want the Lord, when he looks at me, to be able to say, you know what? Ben's not perfect, but I've got 100% of his heart. Then I'll see God's wisdom in my life.